Hi, welcome to the Baby Sleep Magic Podcast. My name is Chantelle, and today's episode I'm going to talk a little bit about how to get your four-year-old to sleep in their own bed. I do get emails about this particular topic from time to time, and to be honest, I've never had anywhere I could refer them to go to. So I thought I'd do a bit of a detailed podcast on this. So in the event that either yourself is experiencing it or you know someone who is, you've got somewhere that you could send them or, you know, information that they can go and listen to that might be able to help. So look, my first tip here is to get your child to fall asleep in their own room to begin with. And in their own bed, obviously, that is key. Now, in most cases, what normally happens is the child will require either mum or dad to lay with them to go to sleep. Once they're actually asleep, what you'll usually experience is then through the night, at some point, probably after midnight, is they will then get up, come down the hallway or through the house and into your bed, and then they'll sneak in, usually without you realizing to begin with, and then they happily sleep there all night long until morning. That's usually what I hear and see the most of. And then the number one question is how to avoid that, or how to eliminate that, or basically how to get them sleeping in their own room all night. So going back to my first point was what we need to do initially is get them to fall asleep in their own bed to begin with independently. Now that doesn't mean you got to leave them alone and abandon them and close the door and lock it behind you. I'm not suggesting that at all, and we'll go through a few other steps and tips in a minute. But one thing you may find will help in a situation like this is having their door open, particularly for children over the age of 3 or 4, because they're usually by that age very good at their comprehension skills. They know exactly what's right and wrong. And having their door open can be more like a privilege. And in some cases, I'm saying some here now, that may be all you need to do. You might be able to just tell them that, you know, they're such a big girl or a big boy, you're going to come back and check on them. You can have the door open and, you know, you'll be back to check on them. And in some cases, that may just be enough. If they've got a little nightlight in there, and they know that you're coming back to check on them and their door's open and they can kind of still hear you or see the hallway light, that might be enough for them to go, you know what, I'm good with that. Because having the door open, one, is a privilege, like I said, but also it doesn't isolate them too much from the family or the family dynamics, and they can still hear you or still hear what's going on. So they still feel a little bit a part of what's going on and not so closed off. So that's why having the door open at this particular age can be a huge advantage. So that's one thing. If you are actually co-sleeping though, so if you've got a child that's sleeping with you in your bed to begin with and is there from the get-go and all night, this is a little bit of a different scenario. In this type of situation, first of all, I would start with a mattress on the floor in your room. So to begin with, you want to keep them in the same room environment, but you just want to get them to start falling asleep independently. So still with you around in your room, but you just want to start breaking that association with, you know, co-sleeping and independent sleeping. So that's my tip for anyone who is currently co-sleeping all night long. But anyone who is, like I said in the very beginning, falling asleep with their child in their room or their bed, which is the most common, the first thing I would recommend that you do, if they don't already have one, is to have some type of teddy. Now, normally speaking, I would call it a comforter for babies, but at this age category, I'd call it more like a teddy or some type of sleep prop. Now, if they don't have anything, particularly at this age, I would actually take them to the shops in an area that you're happy for them to buy and get them to choose their own. You know, I wouldn't let them go rogue and pick random trucks and toys and stuff, but in an area where there's teddies or comforters or something, and out of that selection, they get to choose. And what children at this age love the most is responsibility. They love a little bit of independence. They love the responsibility. They get to choose. And they also get to choose the name as well. That's another thing. So it gives them a little bit of ownership. So that's definitely tip number one. If they already have something at home but haven't really taken a huge liking to it, then you may want to get it back out and make a big deal of it and get them to choose it again or rename it, because that type of ownership can really help. My other tip is having a nightlight. Most children in this age category have a little bit of fear of the dark or bedtime battles or something associating with them being in their room on their own in the dark. So having a nightlight at this age can be a real advantage. If you use a nightlight, I would recommend having something of the warmer tone. So whether it's oranges or pinks or reds, because those types of colors don't interfere with melatonin and that's going to be more beneficial. But as an example, something like a salt lamp is perfect. And that would obviously stay on all night as well. And white noise can also be beneficial, believe it or not. Although they're not babies and it's not purely for that reason at all. It's not for the soothing. It's not for even drowning out noise. But what it does is it'll make the room less scary. Because if a child is laying in their bed and they're trying to get to sleep and they, especially at this age when their imagination is going wild and they hear a noise or they hear something, they can get freaked out quite quickly. But if you've got a little bit of white noise on in the background or even bedtime stories, you know, you can get apps out there, free apps that tell your child a bedtime story, whether it's a Walt Disney story or any story. That can be really beneficial when it comes to going to sleep. So just keep that in mind as well. Next thing to do, again, because of this age category, is to implement a reward chart. Now, reward charts go a really, really long way with children this age because they, again, are very good at comprehending and understanding and they love recognition. They love rewards and recognition. So the best thing you can do is use it to your advantage and discuss it with them through the day. So it doesn't come as a surprise at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, what's happening, the difference, the changes. You want to discuss the whole process with them throughout the day and keep touching on it throughout the day because you don't really want to, like I said, bring it up first thing in the morning and then forget about it because it's going to go over their head. They're not going to remember that all day. So probably around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, all the way through till dinner and bath time, just keep discussing it, touching on it, reminding them about what you're going to do and what the changes are going to be, just so, again, it doesn't come as a surprise. But my number one tip here, I'm going to say, the best thing that you can do, a lot of parents do reading at the end of the night. What we want to do is avoid reading on your child's bed. This is the absolute link. This is what we need to break. That one association can make all the difference because once you're on your child's bed, getting you off that can be the battle. And once they associate you on their bed, that can also be the challenge. So what we need to do is break that association from the absolute get-go. So I'm not saying don't do books, not at all. I advocate it, I like it. Even if you don't do books, but it's wind down time or cuddle time or milk time, whatever that time is, definitely still do it, but create a separate space for that. Preferably in the room so you can keep that nice, you know, sleep space going. But whether it's a, you know, bunch of pillows in the corner or a bean bag or a little teepee hut with some fairy lights in it or whatever, it could be a rug on the floor. It could be a little lounge. It could be a rocking chair. It could be anything. But whatever you do, don't lay or sit with your child on their bed reading books, doing milk, having cuddles, those wind down cuddles or discuss your day or anything like that, purely because breaking that association and getting you away from that can be where the battle begins. So keeping that separate is the absolute key to success here. And then once you've done that and read times over or discussing your days over, and preferably I wouldn't let it go on for any longer than 10 to 15 minutes to be totally honest, because again, you don't want to drag out the process where it goes for too long, that then they start stalling, coming up with all these amazing fancy ideas of why they won't go into bed, but you don't want to make it too short, like 4 or 5 minutes where they feel rushed. So anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes is absolutely ample time to do your wind down book story time, whatever you might do. And then, you know, they hop into bed. And this is where the reward chart comes in because it's a positive experience. And, you know, you can get reward charts from anywhere, to be honest, whether it's the internet, Google. But the reward chart that I'm referring to is available inside the Baby Sleep Magic app. And the reason why I like the one I suggest is because it gets the ball rolling from the get-go. So, you know, once they put their pajamas on, they get a sticker. Once they brush their teeth, they get a sticker. Once they get into bed, they get a sticker. So they've all these positive reinforcements and positive bedtime establishments before they've even started. So they're proud. They get their stickers. They get their and their recognition before anything's really majorly changed. So, and that sets things off on a really positive way. So, and then basically once they're in bed and it's all positive, then my advice at this point is instead of laying with them or instead of, you know, rubbing their back or being in bed with them, is mum or dad at this point would sit on a chair right beside the bed. You don't need to leave the room. You don't need to abandon them. You just sit on a chair and you are encouraging them to go to sleep with you right there. They still at this point have you with them, but you're not literally doing the work for them. They're at this point, they've got to start doing a little bit of the work. And because of this age, you can implement some rewards, obviously, that we've discussed, but also consequences. So in the event that they start to protest or start to misbehave or start to try and get out of bed, you got to have some consequences for that. So now in the event that they, once they've fallen asleep, obviously at this point you can leave the room. And going back to sitting on the chair, normally speaking, it would be a 10-night process. So as a snapshot, you would spend 2 to 3 nights right beside their bed. Then you move it slightly away in the middle of the room for 2 to 3 nights. And then after that, you would move it further away again, ideally to the doorway for another 2 to 3 nights. And by night 10, you're out of the room. You don't want to drag that method or process out much longer, because anything longer than 3 nights in any one position, they will start to see it as a habit and expect you there, which is obviously not ideal, because we want them to, you know, go to bed and stay asleep in their room, in their bed the whole night on their own. So in the event that they then wake through the night, then the important thing here is to be really responsive and take them straight back to bed, not interacting with them, not yelling at them, not saying that they can or can't do that, because again, at some point, they're going to want a response, and any response is good, whether it's good or bad, yelling, angry, whatever it is, they're going to want something. So when there's no response, you just take the hand quietly, walk them straight back to bed, tuck them in, sit on the chair. That's important that you sit there until they go back to sleep. I know that's hard, and this is why it needs to be planned carefully and executed carefully, because once you start, you want to be able to commit to it 100%, because once you do, that's where you're going to get the rewards from them and it's going to work. And at that point, yeah, you would continue to take them straight back to their room. Now, in the instance that they tend to sneak in, because that's what they're used to doing, and they climb to bed and it's 2 or 3 hours before you even realize that they're there, this is where you may need to set up something at your doorway. So it's kind of like a blockade. So whether it's a pot plant, or whether it's a couple of dining chairs, or whether it's something that they stand on and makes a bit of noise, something, because when they enter that room is where you want to greet them. You don't want them coming much further into your bedroom, because once they get close to your bed or even in your bed, getting them out is again where the melodrama begins, and you want to avoid that from the get-go. So what you want to do is create some type of blockade. Like I said, it could even be a baby gate or anything. And then it just makes it difficult for them to come into your room. So once they're actually there, you want to greet them straight away and usher them straight back. So, you know, with that approach, they're not going to continue that night after night, day after day, week after week for that. They're not getting anything out of it. One, they don't get a response. Two, they don't even get into your bedroom. And then they go straight back to bed. That's what we need to ensure. It's just about being consistent at that point. Consistent and persistent, but also being firm and fair with those boundaries, so they know exactly where they stand. It's the gray area is the unknown. When there's gray area and they're not sure what they're going to get, whether they're going to get in your room, whether they're going to get on a mattress on the floor, whether they're going to get mum in their bed, dad in their bed. When there's unknown, they will try something every night, because that's what they do. That's just what children do. But when there's been firm boundaries put in place and there's rules and there's expectations and they know exactly what's going to happen, what's not going to happen, after long enough, and it might take 2 weeks, but when it's set in stone and they realize that line has been drawn, they will sleep. So if you are experiencing challenges at bedtime, or whether or not it's waking through the night, hopefully these tips can help. It might be able to get you on the right track. It might be able to give you a few tools to work with that might be able to help. If you do want more help and more information on the process itself, which I call it the parental presence method, that's what I actually call it, for a more of a step-by-step guide on how to manage that, how to work through that, for information on that reward chart I was talking about, or even rewards and consequences. Obviously, if you want a lot more information and go into further details on that, I do have all that inside the Baby Sleep Magic app. Hopefully that's enough information to get you going, you know, get the ball rolling, especially in a really positive way. The last thing you want is your child crying for hours on end. That's honestly the last thing you want. And I don't condone that either. There is definitely options available and there is definitely help out there. So, and like I tell everyone, all my clients, everything is fixable. And no matter how bad you think it is or how long you've been either co-sleeping for or how long your child has been getting out of bed and coming to your room, it is fixable 100%. I've worked with many clients in the past in this situation that I've just explained and they have got good results. Quicker than you could imagine. For more information on this method and process and details, head to the Baby Sleep Magic app. And thanks again for listening.